Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hultgren, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And this week, we've got, of course, a show on Big Fox we will talk about. Jimmy Rivera will join us, talk about his fight with Thomas Almeida. We will talk about the eye poke, non-eye poke. We will talk about Michael Chiesa not getting his wish to come true. Will Cain and Stipe actually happen? And the final arrival in 2017... of the one true king in the UFC, Brock Lesnar.
That's all we're talking about. Just I know that that stuff you all said seemed very important, but we're going to spend the next hour lining up Brock against the top 10 in the UFC, deciding if we've got wins or losses in each category.
Yeah, well, so I, it's funny. We might as well start there because that is one of the bigger stories from the week. I was actually talking to a buddy of mine about the Stipe contract negotiation and how that was going because he's in Cleveland and kind of in that circle. And I was joking that... I thought, A, whatever his contract is, he needs to make more money, and B, there should be a stipulation in said contract that when Cain doesn't make it to their fight, he gets paid anyway so that he can have enough money to make it to the actual fight that they'll probably do, which will be New Year's Eve against Brock Lesnar.
You think they're bringing Brock in to fight for the championship?
Why wouldn't you? What else would you do with him?
I don't think you can do well. Let's.
Oh, now we're going to ascribe logic to what the UFC has done this year.
Not what the UFC has done, but the problem you've got Brock signed through March in WWE. I don't think you can. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they need some money. So who? I've heard more insane things happen, but it just doesn't seem likely if he's contracted through WWE until March that you would give him a title shot. But then again, I don't know. Is there another heavyweight I want to see more against Stipe? No.
No, there isn't.
You're 100% right. I'll take Brock all day, every day.
Yeah, well, and like if this is the, and I'm going to say this, you and everyone listening is going to think I'm joking. But if what we're doing here, right, is he shows up, tests hot, gets suspended, sits out, comes back. Like you don't get two fights out of him because he's going to be suspended. So you've got to.
So you think he's going to be suspended again?
Of course I do.
Okay, I'm just the subtlety is lost on some. So I just want to. Yeah, reset.
I mean, make no bones about it. Right, he gets suspended again. It's a 4-year suspension, so he likely won't actually be back. And if all of those things are even partially true. What I mean is, like, could he test positive? 100% he could. And if he's going to, then he's going to have to sit out for 4 years. There literally is nothing else to do with him other than make a spectacle out of it, a la Mayweather-McGregor, and get some eyeballs to show up for a pay-per-view because you obviously have not had a very good year.
Well, the interesting thing is with Brock, it doesn't really matter who's on the other side. Here's the other fight I'd love to see just because I follow on Facebook. And he hasn't stopped bitching since last July. Put him back in there with Mark Hunt. I'll watch that again.
Sure.
But I still think. I guess I really don't care. Other than maybe John Jones. John Jones comes off a loss. Has to get bigger.
Yeah, I've heard that. I think that one's a little bit sillier.
And more insane things have happened in the past couple weeks, Eric.
Totally. Lots of more insane things have happened. All that to be said, though. If you're bringing him back, and I think the Magic 8-Ball is leaning more and more towards yes, and that ends up being later and later in the year, and the timing of this just seems interesting. So Stipe's sitting out a contract negotiation, even though they supposedly have a fight with him with Cain, waiting to set in concrete. I'm not confident after 18 months that Cain makes it to that fight healthy, and if that's not going to happen, I think the logical next step would be. What we would call a freak fight with Brock Lesnar at a bigger card.
Well, here, let's just because we're talking about this a couple times for those that haven't been following along, there's some contract issues with Stipe because in his last two fights, his last two title fights,
title defenses, right?
Titled title defenses? Were they both defenses or he won?
Yes, because that makes him one of the more successful heavyweights who's defended
right,
twice.
Because the record's two.
Right. Yes. Congratulations.
It literally is two.
It actually is two.
Just for because I didn't believe it and I've been watching for 20 years. I'm like, I guess they're right. It's only been two. But in the last two fights, he's made less than his opponent and he was the champion.
Yeah. So he has defended against Alistair and JDS. So twice.
So, yeah, two
and made
defenses.
made less than both of them.
And the next one will break the heavyweight record.
Yes.
So that's going to be interesting.
Which is all the more reason you give it to Brock. So, to your point.
Yeah, but they're not going to pay him more than Brock. So that's kind of funny.
But
or you're just saying give the main event slot to Brock.
No, but Brock would bring him more money, right? If that's the goal. If Stipe's after, break the record against a guy who you probably can break the record with because he does not like to get punched in the face. And you want to get paid, that's McGregor's template, right? Like, go do a big money fight. That's your big money fight. Who else at heavyweight is even interesting at this point?
Yeah, I honestly don't know at this point who else would be. I mean, the most interesting guys are at heavyweight are fighting in 2 weeks, and that's if they go up in weight. That's Daniel Cormier, and that's John Jones. Those are your most interesting guys at heavyweight, and they're not fighting there yet. So, again, yes, this is the most interesting fight. Let's go through timelines, though, because he hasn't re-entered the USADA system according to UFC. Now again, I don't know if they have to be notified. What?
Or they also don't have to tell the truth. Let's keep that in mind as well.
They don't have to tell the truth, but let's also look at this landscape we've seen over the past couple months. The main reason Brock might be doing this is because his WWE contract is up after WrestleMania next year. That's going to put him into March of April or next year. He's frozen right now as far as the suspension goes because he hasn't re-entered the pool. He would have to do that for what is said to be about 6 months at this point, correct?
Correct.
So, I mean, if he got back in right now, I guess maybe your New Year's Eve card suggestion could happen.
And in that time, he needs to lose the Universal Championship to Scott Hall.
To Scott Hall, yes. And because of DDP Yoga.
Yes, because of DDP Yoga.
Talk about a guy you don't want to put in a championship match. So, obviously, yes, everything would have to play out in WWE. But I mean, if he's doing this, the reason is obviously for negotiation purposes to make more money fighting. But let's not consider only UFC. Let's look now at the monster on the other side of the room, which people forget. Viacom has a lot of money. They're looking for eyeballs on Bellator. Is there a better place to put Brock than Bellator right now? I would venture a guess they could get more out of Brock at Bellator than the UFC could at this point. Because every time Brock shows up in UFC, you have everybody pissed off about the WWE guy, this, that, and the other thing. Bellator has already embraced some of that insanity, and they've got another pay-per-view they want to run next year. And boy, oh boy, when did they run this last pay-per-view? It was in June. So if you get past March and April and get a guy in a camp like Brock Lesnar, he could easily be headlining a Bellator pay-per-view as well.
Let me cut you off.
The only reason I brought that up, just real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is because he may not even be telling UFC about this. This may be for his own contract negotiations and edification down the line at this point.
Now, I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time talking inside baseball, but I do want to bring up one point with the Viacom deal. That seems like if he's still under contract with WWE, because Viacom still has a wrestling product, right?
No.
No, they don't?
No.
Got it.
No,
okay.
They don't. But regardless, this would be past the WWE contract.
Got
as
it.
Well.
Okay, this so you're talking like June of next year.
Yes.
Got it.
My entire scenario is working on the assumption that he's doing this for his contract status and for money, which Brock has always said. That's what he does. He wants to make a lot of money and go back to Canada and hang out in his cabin and lay on his wife. So that's what Brock is doing. He's always talking about negotiating. And I'm not saying he wouldn't talk to the UFC or do another deal like he did last year, where WWE is entirely giving their blessing for this. But the WWE pays Brock for a minimum amount of appearances a year. So they're looking for the bang for their buck. That means you are not going to see Brock. I would be entirely surprised if you saw Brock in a UFC cage between January and March of next year, because that's what is always typically WrestleMania season.
Which now, is why you will see him in December against Stipe.
I still think that timeline is off, but again, I'm not privy to the intricacies of the USADA, and no longer in MMA am I willing to call you crazy and say you're insane, because as soon as I do that, the fight's going to be booked right after SummerSlam.
Right. Or it'll be booked after the show is, you know, put to bed.
Right. Exactly. It's probably right now while we're just while we're online here recording this. It just broke. So, I think that's a really interesting development. I told you last year I thought Brock would try to do this again. I said it was not because necessarily he loves fighting, which I think he does. I think he loves the competition part. He doesn't like getting hit. I get that. But, you know, he's been competing for his entire life in some form or another. So I think that's ingrained in him somewhere. But more than anything else, he's always said over and over again, he's in this for the money. And if you're in this for the money, what do? You find out what are your options when you leave somewhere, or at least open up all the roadways. I mean, he could simply be vying for another WWE contract. The best way to negotiate that contract is to be able to say, I've got other places to go. And his biggest money is going to be in MMA, not really in one of these lesser wrestling federations right now, unless you want to really get inside baseball and start talking about New Japan expansion and those type of things, which we can discuss if it comes to Brock, because, again, he can write a check. He can have a check written for him in any of these places. So to make himself more viable as a product, he would have to re-enter the USADA testing.
And so we'll wait and see if that happens. You know, it broke, and I want to give credit where credit is due, because it's been an interesting week for this particular individual on Twitter. Diz at Talk MMA on Twitter was the one who broke this news, and people kind of came out of the woodwork to dump all over him. And now slowly but surely, there's been more and more what we would call legitimate sources starting to verify that this is indeed something that's either going to happen or has in fact happened. And we'll, I guess, wait and see what that all means when it shakes out.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to kind of see, like you said, what shakes out and what does or doesn't happen. But man, we're in a strange new world where you can't really count out anything at this point.
No, and that leads us to the conversation about Stipe and Kane. Like I said, he's still embroiled in a contract negotiation because he wants to get paid, and he should. But you know, your thoughts.
Has anybody fallen off a cliff more than Cain Velasquez?
I mean, well, this is what I was going to say.
Able to do. Like, I mean, he was the guy when we saw him beat Brock. We were like, oh man, nobody's going to beat this guy ever again.
And then he like just beats himself, right? Because the rumors of what happens in their training camps and how hard they go and they injure themselves and they can't actually stay healthy to get to fights. And so here we are. He's been out for 18 months, and you know, they want to put him in a title fight with Stipe, which I don't necessarily hate, other than the fact that let's not forget that we've heard over and over again from this organization that they want people that will make it to the event. We had the Amanda Nunes debacle from just a couple weeks ago, which was the lowest pay-per-view in modern UFC history, although, to be fair, still did beat Bellator. But all that to be said, you know, they're going to be really mindful about people being able to make it to the fight. And Kane is not a guy that I trust to do that.
Yeah, I mean, he's if they even make this fight, it's been over a year since he's fought. I mean, as of now, right? The Travis Brown fight at 200.
Right now. Yep.
I mean, speaking of Brock, well, let's go back to UFC 200. That's when we saw Kane last time. So I don't know. I know the UFC is you know, they say the right things sometimes, and they say, we're not going to do this with this guy again, and we're not going to put so-and-so at the top of the card. But you know who I heard that about too? John Jones. And what's happening a week from Saturday? John Jones is headlining the card. At a certain point, you get put into spots where you have to make the fight. And when you talk about Stipe and you talk about the UFC heavyweight division, I mean, you've got a fight there that probably should be made, simply because I don't believe they've ever fought before. And you know, he's already cleared out Alistair and JDS and Fabricio Werdum before he even won the title. I mean, you know, he beat Andre Arlovsky, Mark Hunt, another top guy there. And I'm talking about name recognition, too, more along than just your UFC heavyweight rankings, which actually I haven't checked out in a while. So, I mean, the Kane fight, I think, is the next natural fight if you're not going to go out there and do the Brock thing, which you're suggesting. So, yeah, they say, yeah, we're not going to let him headline. These guys got to make sure they're healthy and this and that. But I mean, when push comes to shove, you got to headline your card with the headlining fight. And in a week from Saturday, that's John Jones. And coming up in a couple months, that could be Stipe and Cain Velasquez, regardless of some of the history we've seen over the past couple years. Here's the interesting thing I didn't realize, Eric, just kind of going back to figure out when Cain had fought last. He's only fought twice in the past 4 years. twice in the past 4 years.
And that's why I'm saying, like, do you trust the guy? He's ranked number three right now, if you wanted to know.
He is a guy that's fought twice in 4 years. That shows you, man, this UFC heavyweight division, they just can't seem to get anything going up there.
Well, you've got, and we'll run through it real quick, and then I want to make another point. You've got Alistair at one, Verdum at two, Velasquez at three, JDS at four, Nagano at five, Mark Hunt at six, Derek Lewis at seven.
So you
seven.
Have to get to Nagano before you even get to a guy that hasn't already beaten.
Yeah, and a guy that, like, I don't really want to see. I've said this before. I'd like to build up Nagano a little bit so that people want to pay to see the guy fight as opposed to trying to ruin him by putting him against something crazy. And I believe he's actually fighting Mark Hunt, I think is what he's supposed to be doing next. But to your point about, like, we're never going to headline with this person or never going to do this thing, when the Nunes thing blows up and Amanda and Valentina don't get to fight, Dana says we're never going to headline with her again. This seems like a really bad idea. And by the way, let me throw DJ under the bus about, you know, we were going to do this and do that to DJ. And then they announced yesterday that the next pay-per-view is headlined by DJ and Ray Borg. And co-main evented by Amanda and Valentina.
You know, I like this method of just kind of putting the stuff on we don't care about onto one card so we can skip it and not,
yeah, we can
not worry
we
too
can
much.
We can fast forward it, right?
I'm kind of interested in the Nunes fight, though, at this point. So, you know, not saying I'm going to buy a DJ pay-per-view yet. Yeah, but that seems really weird. Like, they're trying to hedge their bets on both people. Like, we don't trust either of you to headline. And then they put them on the card next to each other. And then they're going to go, told you so.
And then right, and then what, right? Like,
I have no idea,
because let's play this out for a second, and then we'll get to what's happening this weekend and maybe talk a little bit about what's next weekend. Let's say that Ray Borg didn't make it and it's Demetrius Johnson and TJ Dillashaw. Are more
is
people
he on the card too?
No, it's not what I'm saying, but that was what they were buying
you're
for, right?
In general, yeah.
Like, are more people buying that? Because I don't think more people, I mean, maybe more core fans are buying that, but not a lot. You're not breaking any records with those two.
No, that's why I thought it was, I guess Dana White doesn't have to pick his battle sometimes with fighters, but that seemed to be, you know, as we've said before, what hill are you going to stand on? And that was a weird one for Dana White. Like, you got to do the Dillashaw fight. Like, dude, that's not like some GSP super fight you're setting up with somebody. That's TJ Dillashaw, who I like. But he's going to be fighting Demetrius Johnson in this fight you're battling for.
Well, and this,
that's not that big a deal.
Well, not only is it not that big of a deal, but this week there, and our guest who's coming up in a second, Jimmy Rivera, there was a video that was leaked of Jimmy Rivera kind of taking it to TJ Dillashaw in a sparring session. So it's like, not only is it not a GSP super fight, there's some video floating out there of, you know, a bantamweight that not a lot of people even know about, who hasn't lost in 19 fights in five or six years, who's taking it to this guy that you're trying to put at the top of a pay-per-view, which to me, for like the super fan, seems to take a little bit of the shine off of how crazy that fight would be, right? Because, like, go walk around the office or go find all of your MMA friends and ask them how many of them even know who Jimmy Rivera is and remembers his fight in September with Uriah Faber. Frankie Edgar. It won't be a lot of people.
Right. Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I mean, I don't disagree on anything you said there. So that's going to be kind of an interesting lineup as we kind of get closer to that pay-per-view. They're going to co-main event that, right? That's
it. Co-main it. Yes.
That's
the card. I don't know what else is on that card, but they're co-maining it. Yeah. So there's that.
That'll be interesting.
All right. Like I said, Fox, we call it Big Fox here, is having an event this Saturday night as we go to Long Island for the first time ever. Before we talk about that fight, though, let's jump right into it and talk to our next guest. Jimmy Rivera is joining us. He's going to be taking on Thomas Almeida in the kickoff to the main card. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. How's everything going with you?
Dude, everything is awesome. I am so excited for you for this weekend because, and you retweeted this, and I think this kind of sums up what's going on, that this fight between you and Thomas Almeida is a little bit under the radar, and I think it's my life's goal to make sure more people pay attention this weekend because since you've arrived in the UFC, I mean, obviously prior to that, you've been like a one-man wrecking machine. What's it like being you right now heading into this fight on Big Fox, kicking off the main card?
I mean, I'm super excited. I'm looking forward to this fight. I mean, Almeida is a tough opponent, but he stays in the pocket. He doesn't run, and I'm looking forward to getting that finish.
Yeah, he's really kind of the perfect, and I'm sure that's why you called him out. He's really the perfect opponent for you to continue your run towards the title, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's going to help me either get a title shot or boost me to get number one contender shot.
Yeah, and what's really fascinating about watching you is all of this excitement around you, and you still seem like, and again, we're following you anecdotally. We follow you on social. We follow you on wherever. You still seem like a super grounded dude who it's really hard not to be fired up to see you succeed. What is it about this game when some people end up, let's say, not being so likable and affable, and people like you just kind of embrace the whole thing and become people that you just want to gravitate towards and talk to?
I think it all, you know, how depends on how the person brought it up and what they've done in their life. I mean, I've been training MMA since I was 9 with Tiger Showmans, and been doing it ever since. I've been with Tiger Showmans since 9 years old, and kind of brought me out of a way to be humble. But now I've come in the UFC, be a lot more confident in what I say and speak my mind more, and really just kind of roll with the punches. I mean, everybody, there's people that are always going to have their different opinions, and that's fine. They have their opinions, but it's not going to affect the way I believe in myself and the way I think.
And do you think people sometimes, I mean, I just complimented you because we've talked a couple times and you've always been very cool to be on the show, but this week it seems like lots of people have been goading you into calling other people out. Do you feel like that's what the game has become, or in a post Conor McGregor?
I mean, it helps. You need that drama. They want that. They always want that drama, and you got to build fights somehow and build a casual fan, so it's okay to do that. It doesn't bother me at all. If someone's going to talk smack, I'm gladly to give, a piece of my mind, but in a confident way. You know what I mean? Not be too, because at the end of the day, I teach. I have a school on East 23rd Street in New York City. So I got to keep a somewhat professional persona. You know what I mean? I teach from 3 years old all the way up to my oldest student's like 76. So I need to keep it, in some, professional way.
Absolutely. This weekend, taking on Thomas Almeida, on your Instagram, if people follow you on Instagram, they might have seen the video from yesterday where Vienna is saying you round one RNC. Is that kind of how you see this going down, or you think it's going to go a little bit longer?
I'm trying to get that fight done as soon as possible. You know what I mean? So I can go and celebrate, enjoy it with my family and eat some bad food. I'm trying to either really get that knockout, or if he leaves an arm or neck out, I'm trying to take it off. So I'm just looking to get in there and get that finish and put a name out for myself, call out who I want next, and keep moving forward to that belt.
Now, it's obviously not fair or wise to look past your opponent. So I'm going to go back a little bit and say, what has this year been like for you? Because your last time in the UFC was in September, an amazing fight against Uriah Faber, obviously. But you were supposed to fight in January. That didn't happen. How have you been kind of making sure that this camp is going as well as it appears, at least digitally, for you with all of that time off?
I mean, I train with the best. I have great teammates. I cross-train with the best. I mean, I'm always training. You know, I think that's one of the things that makes me successful is that when I don't even have a fight, I'm training. And when I do have a fight, it's all about come up with game plans and, get in great shape, unbelievable shape. That's the two main things. I've been through already 2 times, 5-round fights, twice in my life. So I think that's the biggest thing. And then as I train, you just get better, They always say as you get older, you get wiser in age. It's the same thing with training. The years you put in, the better you get. I'm not the same person I was when I first started out my pro career. And I've grown so much and learned so much, and it's helped a lot. And I got great support from my, my friends and my family and my teammates.
And so how much are you itching to get back in there? Like, what put me in your brain? Like, you haven't fought in the octagon since September. Like, what does that feel like for you, knowing that that will all come to fruition this Saturday night?
I'm excited for you, man. I haven't gotten to fight in almost a year. I'm excited for it. I'm just trying to enjoy it a little bit more, especially being at home. I'm just trying to soak up and enjoy it more. Because last time I fought in home in Jersey, it just goes by so quick. And you think about, you do all this preparation for like 15 minutes of fighting and like an extra 5 or 10 minutes in the cage.
Right.
You do all this crazy shit, all this preparation, 2 months for literally... you're here from Tuesday to the Saturday, and you leave on Sunday, and you do all this training, all this hours of training for 15 minutes, or you know, in my case, I hope it doesn't last 15 to 22 or 3 minutes. But you do all this, and it's just unbelievable. So I'm trying to enjoy it more and soak it up a little more, especially being close to home.
So, Jimmy, do you like being close to home? Is that helpful to you, or is that a distraction?
Hell yeah. I don't have to get on a plane. I can just drive over. It's great. My friends and family came. I have two teammates around the car, too, as well. I mean,
yeah.
It's going to be a huge night for Tiger Showman. It's going to be a huge night. We're going to have a huge crowd. We're super excited. I just can't wait.
Jimmy, as always, a pleasure to talk to you. I know you've got a bunch of these, so I will let you go. It was great to spend some time with you. I cannot wait for this fight. Cannot wait to see your hand raise and see what's next for you. If you do this in, you know, let's say it goes according to plan, you're out in 3 minutes, would you like to squeeze one more in before the end of the year, or would we see you in 18?
If Cody can't fight, then I'll fight TJ for the interim belt, or, you know, let's Cruz and I fight. Let's get that number one contender on. I gotta go in there, focus on Saturday night, gotta get an impressive win. I gotta take it out, whether it's after that, and hopefully get to my fight.
Awesome. Jimmy Rivera joining us again. Cannot wait to see you fighting Saturday night, man. Best of luck to you, and we will talk again soon. All right, there he goes. Sorry, the end of that was garbled a little bit, but essentially Jimmy saying he's going to take on all comers and doesn't really care where that ends up. And so,
is he drowning in the deep waters of being ranked high in the UFC now? I'm just saying.
He is not drowning in the deep waters of being ranked high. I will promise you that.
But
you know, it leads us to this card, which, I mean, for flying under the radar because of what's happening next weekend, this is a pretty kick-ass card.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited, and I guess I was lucky enough to kind of, I mean, the promotion works sometimes. I was flipping through channels, and they showed some of the Chris Weidman stuff. And just to remember how, I mean, I still was shocked when he beat Anderson Silva that first time, watching the fight again. I knew what happened, obviously. I knew what happened the next fight, too.
Sure.
Just how he had come out of nowhere at that point, won that fight and was just on such a roll, beat him again when everybody said he wasn't going to, there's no way, that was a fluke. You know, Anderson's not going to screw around again. And Anderson didn't screw around next time. And, you know, he was getting hit and he was getting thumped a little bit. And he, you know, obviously the leg kick, people are saying, oh, if he hadn't broke his leg, let's not forget that was a check kick. That was training. That was Chris Weidman knowing exactly what was coming. And he threw that leg and he broke his leg.
Yeah.
Anderson Silva didn't break his own leg. Chris Weidman broke Anderson Silva's leg. So, I mean, you know, I'm a little bit back on the hype train there about Chris Weidman. This is really cool, I think, for him that he gets to fight on Long Island, being a New York guy. I, you know, Kevin Gastelum, I'm big on him. I want to really see where he is at this point in his career. And we get to see some of that coming up with this UFC on Fox card, which should be a lot of fun coming up this weekend. And I like this card, too, because you got a couple fun fights underneath. Nobody's really standing out to me at this point, but what you've got is a great headline fight, which is probably going to start at about 9:30. Eric, how exciting is that? Right.
Exactly. Well, and that's one of the reasons that I love the Fox cards is because they, you know, they get to the action quicker. The pacing is 1,000 times better than they ever are in the pay-per-view. And you've got a you know, what makes sense for me as far as what an event would be. So it's four fights on the main card, which makes a lot of sense to me. And, you know, our guest is kicking it off. Jimmy Rivera and Thomas Almeida are going to stand on the logo and try and murder each other. And so you're going to get to see that. You've got Patrick Cummings on there. And then Bermudez and Elkins is the co-main of that, which leads us to, like you said, you've got Kelvin Gastelum and you've got Chris Weidman. And if Weidman loses four in a row, I mean, what do you do with that guy?
Yeah, and I don't know. And Weidman's fighting a legit dude. I know the last fight was technically ruled a no contest, but was that weed? Like, he beat the crap out of Vitor Belfort.
Oh, yeah,
weed.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean,
right,
what
yeah.
is that? In Brazil. So, I mean, you know, Kelvin Gastelum's been looking really good in his last couple of fights there. You know, it was a little shaky there back right when he kind of came out of the Ultimate Fighter. I obviously didn't follow much of that. He seemed to be – well, and I'm just being honest. You know, he had a couple of decent decisions. Then obviously he took the loss to Tyron Woodley, which, you know, nobody should be ashamed of that.
Nope.
So this is going to be a really tough fight for Chris Weidman, who it feels like the past couple fights, like you said, has been trying to come back each time that he fights. Obviously a legit fighter, but you just have to wonder. I mean, that this guy was he at the height of his career? Obviously, he was at the height of his career when he beat Anderson Silva, but was that also the height of his fighting ability at that point? Because you've kind of watched him, and by no means has Chris Weidman become some type of scrub or anything, but it gets really difficult for a guy who was so high on the card after you realize, okay, like you said, Eric, he could be coming off four losses at this point. I mean, obviously, we still want to see that Luke Rockhold rematch. I don't think, you know, a loss necessarily runs him out of UFC. Do you?
Well, so that's the question, right? Because his last loss is that semi-controversial one with Gegard Mousasi. He obviously can't get that one back unless he goes to Bellator. And an easy way to go to Bellator is to lose on Saturday night. But, you know, do I think they should get rid of him? No, and for a couple reasons. One, he was instrumental, although I think a lot of us would like to put the toothpaste back in the bottle as far as MMA in New York City, because it's turned out to be actually terrible. But he was instrumental in making that happen. And I feel that they understand that. But you need to get this guy, if he loses on Saturday night, which I think is a really good possibility, you need to get him in a position where he can have a spotlight fight to get his feet back underneath him, because he clearly needs to reset and start all over again, which is the brutal fight game. But to your point, Kelvin Gastelum destroying Vitor Belfort when he's on weed, like, and you just getting demolished by Gegard Mousasi, whether or not you thought that was legal or not legal doesn't matter. I don't know that it would have changed the outcome even if that exchange doesn't happen. You've got two guys in very different positions in their MMA careers, and you know that more than anything, Ken, that momentum and your mental state are the two things in this game that give you the edge. And Kelvin seems to have both in spades right now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and this for him is that fight where he can propel himself into, I mean, I know the division's murky at best right now,
right?
But he can propel himself into that title picture at this point. So who do we have? What do we have? An interim champ?
We do have an interim champ. Let me get, so
we just talked to him like 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so you've got Robert Whittaker as your interim champ, Bisping as your champ.
Okay.
You've got Yoel Romero running around the countryside screaming at Michael Bisping.
Right, which is funny because, I mean, and I get what Bisping was trying to do, but then Yoel Romero didn't come up with his end of the fight, so you can't scream for a title shot coming off a loss.
Correct. And then you've got Gastelum ranked at 8, Weidman ranked at 5. So if he wins, that would put Kelvin at 5th. Which gives you, in my opinion, Jacare or Rockhold. You've got to do one of them before I'm going to talk about a title shot. And we're still in this position, Ken, where Yoel's not wrong. If Whittaker is really banged up, they might not keep Bisping on the shelf that long, right? So you might get Yoel and Bisping anyway.
Yeah, I get that. But man, how messed up would that be? If you can't defend the interim title, do you have an interim title?
You have champion versus champion steel cage match, right? Like
that's where
we go.
Triple threat. Is that what we do?
Yes.
I've seen those in Russia. It's probably M1.
It's always M1. But
always
so
M1.
You know, so
you've seen the M1 night fighting, right?
Yes. Yeah. Everything terrible in MMA either comes from Muskegon or M1. Everything.
All right. That guy barfed once. I do like that the guys, though. Here, a quick shout out.
Sure.
To Knockout Promotions. Because they realize that, hey, you barf, you're disqualified. The UFC let that lady crap all over the ring and didn't disqualify her like they should have. So a big heads up there by the Knockout Promotions guys for being on top of things where the UFC missed it.
I think the volume of excrement in both scenarios are a little bit different.
She pooped in the cage.
It would be very hard for you to miss a heavyweight projectile vomiting in the cage.
I just feel like if you're a referee and you see poop in the cage, you call the fight. You can figure it out later and see who's DQ'd. It's probably going to be pretty obvious.
Well,
I'm saying.
Those shenanigans would only happen in New York, where you're calling the fight before you know who you're calling it for. That seems vintage New York City.
And by the way, that fight in Muskegon, wasn't that on a battleship? So maybe the guy got seasick. I don't know.
Make all the excuses you want. That is everything.
I'm just saying.
That's everything that's wrong with amateur MMA is that sort of.
What were we talking about?
I don't even know.
What were we talking about?
So we were talking about terrible Russian
fighting.
But
so
then
the
we were getting
threat,
back
we
to
had
the
three fighters.
Yes, is that to be fair? Like, I don't think Bisping's going to sit out that long. And if it's Yoel next, it's Yoel next. And that's one of the reasons that I think you and I really like Bisping is that he's down for whatever is actually next. Which if that happens, whoever wins that fight gets Whitaker. That's obvious. But that would put Kelvin in line to what I just said a second ago, to be either Rockhold or Jacare. And I don't really care either. I think both are exciting fights.
Yeah, but how messy is that? Because then you've got Yoel and Michael Bisping fighting. You've got the interim champ now holding on to his title shot,
but he's
despite the fact that Kelvin Gastelum could have a great showing and deserve. I mean, what a mess.
Right, but what are you going to do with Whitaker if his knee is actually injured? He can't fight.
No, I get it. I think,
and how,
well,
I think you do
what you did with Jon Jones. You just, hey, dude, if you're the interim champ and you can't fight, we're just taking that belt back. We can't have 30 belts floating around.
Yeah,
because Jon Jones was an interim champ. Remember that?
Yes, when he beat OSP
for like a week.
Yes, for
whatever.
About
yeah, whatever
days.
Happened
yes.
there.
So
that's just one of those things where, hey, you can't be an interim champ and hold up the division. You know, you shouldn't really be a champ holding up the division, but I get it at least. That guy's the champion. I mean, I think if you get a situation where, let's say, Yoel beats Michael Bisping and you've already moved that belt along, and yeah, I get it. The other guy beats you, but if he's still injured and Kelvin Gastelum deserves that
yep.
shot at that point, you got to give him that shot. And again, we've still got Luke Rockhold floating out there at this point. I don't think he's got anything booked right now either.
No,
I think he's recovering from an injury, right?
But if Weidman wins, you can do your rematch, right?
Oh, for sure. You can do your rematch at that point. There's a couple different possibilities, but so who winning makes this division murkier? Weidman or
Gastelum?
Gastelum. You think Gastelum does?
Gastelum, because if Weidman wins, he's 1-3 in his last four, right?
So But he's 1-3 in his last four, but he's a former champion, and he's got wins over Silva and Machida and Belfort. I mean, that's a pretty decent resume. And the Gard Mousasi thing, yeah, it was ugly. Would it have changed the fight? I don't know. I mean, that thing is still upsetting for a dozen different reasons because, yeah, I get it. You might have been playing along, but if you're a guy that doesn't think he can continue the fight in the way he does and the ref told you it was illegal, that's what you do. That's part of the game. That's why I've always hated people who go, oh, he grabbed the cage on accident. Okay, but you know what? If you keep taking points, they're going to stop grabbing the freaking cage, Eric.
Yeah.
And if, oh, well, he kneed him, it was legal. Okay, but he was told it was illegal, and you don't have to continue a fight if it's an illegal knee. And you're not supposed to be able to go look at the tape later and go, oh, turns out it was. And what we told you was legal was illegal and this and that. Because I don't know if he wasn't dead out. He wasn't knocked unconscious. He went down quickly, and maybe the fight could have been finished if the knee had been called correctly, but we don't know. And these are these things in fighting that get a little bit frustrating at times. And the only reason I bring it all back up is because that still becomes a very murky loss for Chris Weidman. So, yeah, 1-3, but that one was kind of weird. And, yeah, he is a former champion, and you never know. But you still think Kelvin Gastelum is the guy that makes that murkier.
Well, yes, because I think if Kelvin wins, he goes up from 8-5. If Weidman wins, he probably sits tight because he beat number 8. He doesn't move anywhere,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's why I think it makes it murkier. And that would put Kelvin on what, a 5 or 6 fight win streak?
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, he's been rocketing up. I don't think he was ranked last time they did the rankings either. So that's going to be really interesting and makes me want to see what gets settled up at the top. What do we know about Robert Whittaker? Because you seem to be more on top of that than I. You are more on top of that.
I don't have anything definitive on the knee other than he was suspended for 6 months because they think it's going to be an issue. Once that gets fleshed out, though, if that's true, he's got to get surgery or whatever. I think that would put us what? December before he gets back into camp, which gives us a March pay-per-view at best.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, that's like, what I'm saying about, you know, you can't wait on the interim guy.
Are you thinking Bisping's sitting out till March? Because I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, I think Bisping's plan was to probably be back right around this time initially and take that GSP fight until GSP made that weird video a couple of months ago.
Yeah, and so, I mean, those are the two things that are laying out there is that if they're going to, you know, the GSP thing, it looks like he's going to fight at 170, but they still don't have anything inked. If he ends up at 170, okay, fine, then it's Yoel Romero. If he doesn't, then obviously if you're Bisping, you take the GSP fight because there's more money and you don't actually have to take the Yoel fight at this point because he's not the number one contender.
It is murky up there, isn't it?
Right? Well, because you're not
sure.
Ducking Whitaker. You're ducking the guy who's number three.
And you, no, you're 100%
I mean,
right.
Look at it from a business perspective, Ken. You're going to take GSP over Yoel. You're going to make more money.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, and that's probably why Yoel is being as loud as he is. I just checked the injury. It's a grade 2 medial injury. So it wasn't any ligaments or anything. So it'll be interesting if they got to go in there and scope that.
Do
he
they
be
say
back what, 3 months after that?
Do they say when he's coming back or no?
No, no. It just it was apparently a medial injury in the left leg, which isn't fun, but at least it's not an ACL or an MCL.
So he and Chris Chandler from Bellator can or Michael Chandler from Bellator can train together with their not broken legs.
Yes, they can do that.
Terrific. All right, and then obviously next week we get John Jones and DC, and the shenanigans have already started. I don't know if you saw 2 days ago where John Jones was weighing in with a towel so he could lean on it to make weight. So
yeah, I can't decide if that's just John Jones being John Jones, tweet and delete, or if DC has gotten in his head a little bit, because I mean you gotta think if you're John Jones at this point. Your last fight was April of last year. You're just coming off your suspension. You look terrible in that fight. I mean, I guess it's just some of the mind games going back and forth. They were dwarfed by what happened with Conor and Mayweather the week prior. But you've got to wonder, I mean, and we've talked about this over and over and over and over again, and we'll talk about it next week, and we'll talk about it the Monday after that event, because we'll have gotten a bit of an answer. What is John Jones' mental state at this point? And what does that ring rust look like, too? And John Jones, if you get him in a quiet corner to admit to himself how he did in that OSP fight, would probably tell you he understands there was ring rust there. He understands that he wasn't the fighter he was when he left. At this point, he's older, and it's a bigger layoff, and it's a guy who stayed active. Whether or not you beat that guy before, that guy's been fighting for the 2.5 years you've only had one fight in.
And my favorite part about this fight, which is why we've been so excited about it for so long, this is still the first rematch in Jones' career.
Yes, and it's a rematch against a guy who took him 5 rounds. It's a rematch, and I think we could probably dig out the old podcast from July of last year, right? I was really hammering that as well, is that he knows exactly what he's walking into at this point. You know, nobody's ever done that against John Jones. And I talked about the fact that when Chael Sonnen fought John Jones, that he walked out of the cage. And this is a guy who fought Anderson Silva twice. And he walked out of the cage. He's like, he's so much stronger than I thought. He's just so much stronger. And they watch the tape we do, and they train with guys, and they're in the fight game. But none of them seem to understand it until they were in there with John Jones.
Yep.
The guy who's been in there with John Jones, and the guy who was in there with him for 5 rounds is Daniel Cormier. And he knows exactly what he's getting into, and he hasn't stopped talking since January of 2015 about it, which is funny as hell to me, because how often have you had a guy like Daniel Cormier, who's really turned it on, by the way, lately, really trash talked as much as he has after losing a fight, which I love. So it's been a really interesting run for Daniel Cormier at this point. He's basically cleaned the division out the way he has to with those two guys that were circling, which is Johnson and Gustafsson. So it's going to be really interesting. Obviously, he had that fight with Anderson, which was just weird. And
yes,
you know,
it was weird and terrible, all those things.
Well, it was weird and terrible. But, I mean, the one thing it did, it got Cormier paid for that night, which was good after everything else went down and how John kind of flaked out and tested hot or whatever he did. We never did find out what was going on there, did we?
Not,
was it the dick pills?
Not really. It's all that. The cocaine, the dick pills, all that stuff.
Okay. John, you peed right through the cup, man. What's going on?
So we will
Usher thinks you're burning hot over here, man.
We'll jump back into all of that stuff.
Usher's
next week.
Got the herp for those of you who haven't kept up with that.
Thank you very much.
When you explain the joke, they're funnier.
Yes, that's clearly what it is. We will jump into all of that next week. Plus, Jimmy Manoa will join us. Big thanks to Jimmy Rivera for joining us this week. Don't forget, the weigh-ins for UFC on Fox are over. You can catch the replay on the Facebook page. And, of course, 8 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow night, you can catch UFC on Fox live from Long Island for the first time ever. I am Eric Hulkrin. That is Ken Evans. This is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.